The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Pete, it is that time again where we get to talk to each other.
My favourite time of the week, Cece.
How are you? How are you today?
I'm fabulous, work wife. How are you?
I'm, do you know what? It's been one of those weeks, but I am, I'm good. I'm very in line with our topic this week, which is expectations.
Right. You're very in line with it.
Very in line with it, because usually I come in at 10. So really there's only, you can only go south. So I'm going to come in today at a strong 6, and then the only way is up.
I see what you've done there. You want to sing it for me?
No, I don't. Don't.
Are you sure?
I'm not embarrassed yourself or me. No.
So, as you may know from the last couple of weeks, this is The Dating Show. I'm Pete. This is Cece. And we are sponsored by Happn, fabulous dating app, helping you to find the people that you may have walked past. Fate might be involved. Whatever it
may
be. Fate. And this week, expectations is the topic. And we have a fabulous guest, don't we, Bo?
We do. Isn't this your friend? Another friend of yours.
Another friend of mine, yes. We've got a very good friend of mine, Mr. Wayne Lineker.
Yes.
The perfect person for the topic of expectations, based on an Instagram post that he put out, I think it was about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
All the things that he expected from a girlfriend.
Oh.
It got massive, massive press, but it was a bit of a joke on his part. But, you know, it's quite interesting, though. So we're going to be talking to him. We've also got Did It Happn, which is our game, where Wayne will be giving us a couple of stories. And we've also got listeners' questions and stories.
Should we start with a banger, though? Because I feel like I need your sex book this week. I need a lesson.
You need a lesson.
I need a lesson.
Okay, I think you're really going to enjoy this week's one as well.
Okay, so every week, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Pete introduces me to a new word, and it's sex related, or it's something to do with the
dating. Let's say dating.
Dating,
but mostly fucking.
But as Pete just said, so what is it this week? Come on, I reckon I'm going to get it right this week. This is one thing I get wrong every week, by the way.
So this week's word or phrase is a bangover.
Right, a bangover.
So, Cece, tell me, what do you imagine a bangover could be?
I mean, bang is sex, right? So a bangover, is it when you, like, have... I can't remember, there was random stuff. Is it when you... Is it a bangover? Like, is it a repeat of a sexual act? You just keep going?
Very interesting. I always like your twist on these things, but absolutely fucking not. No, it's not that. I'll tell you what it is. It's similar to a hangover. So when you have a bangover, it's when you're absolutely exhausted because you spent all night fucking. So the next day, you're just so tired because you've had a right good session the night before. I'm really tired today. I've got a bangover.
Oh, wicked.
I spent all night.
All night, action again. Yeah. So it's being knackered.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're knackered.
It's but knackered specifically because you've had a right good session.
Oh, wicked.
A loved one.
A loved one. Okay, a bangover.
Or someone you just met.
I mean, would you use that in a, you know, you're at your mates, or how are you doing today, Pete? Yeah, I've got a massive bangover. Would you say that?
Absolutely not, no, but some people do. Would you say it?
Do you know, I probably would, yeah, because I think I'm funny most of the time. You know, I laugh at myself a lot. My friends don't laugh at me, but maybe I will. I'm going to throw it in there, see if anyone picks it up.
Can you remember your last bangover?
Jeez.
Or would you like to move on to Weird and Wonderful Dating News?
Weird and Wonderful Dating News! Thanks, Pete, save there. This week, so I'm going to start with our first story. Right, so some parents could not agree on a...
Some casual parents out there,
mum and a dad, couldn't agree on a baby name, so they decided to both call their daughter a different name. A man and woman who split up before the birth of their child couldn't agree on the name of their daughter, so they decided to both call their little girl something different, much to everyone's confusion. The man's new fiancé thinks that their plan is ridiculous, so she took to Reddit to explain her husband-to-be and his ex-girlfriend's use of different names. She wrote, "My fiancé has a daughter from a previous relationship. It was very hostile. And by the time his ex got pregnant, they were very much on the rocks. She named the child without the fiance's input, naming her after her grandmother and mother and using her last name. My fiance was furious about this and wanted the child to have his name and be named after his grandmother and the name he particularly liked. So the child now is almost three and her parents split the time between themselves 50-50 to avoid going back to court to settle the issues. They've decided to name the little girl a different name while they're at her mum's and a different name while she's with her dad. Okay, I kind of get this in a weird way. It's not much different than people that have, say, a street name and a government name. So I was birthed as Lucy, right? And I'm called Cece. Yes, there you go, Pete, shock. I was birthed, on my birth certificate, it says Lucy. So I kind of get, in some ways, but that's just shortened, isn't it? Actually,
you want a big secret about me?
Oh my God. Da, da, da.
I was birthed as something else as well.
Peter?
No.
Go on then, reveal. I need a silence first, go.
I was birthed as Trevor.
Shut up.
Yes.
Shut up!
It's true.
Actually, I kind of see you as a bit of a Trev.
No, you don't. Why would you say that?
Hang on. Right. Whose fault was that? Your mum or your dad's? Who decided to Trevor you?
I really like the fact you've really gone with this. Of course I wasn't birthed Trevor and then chose to change it to Pete. Why would anyone change their name to Pete?
I actually believed you. I thought maybe it was a similar situation. Like,
no.
Your mum wanted Trevor and your dad was like, no, Pete.
My dad is actually called Trevor. So Lucy, I get Lucy and Cece. I'm guessing Lucy, yeah. Cece, yeah. When were you younger? Sister?
Yeah. So sister couldn't say it, so that makes sense, you know, as a child when your sister's calling you Cece.
Cece?
Yeah, well, she couldn't say her, she's 2 years old.
I thought your sister was Jonathan Ross for a minute.
No, she just couldn't say my name.
But that's quite a cute one, because that's your sister couldn't say it properly, but it is kind of still relating to one name, which is Lucy. It wasn't that your mum and dad couldn't stand each other and your dad went, nah, fuck it, her name's Cece, and your mum went, no, it's Lucy.
Exactly.
These two are fucking mental. There are a couple of things that I would like to know. Firstly, what the two names are. We don't have that information, but I would love to know. Because if one of them's calling him, you know, the kid Kevin, and the other one's calling her Mary, then that's really out of order. So I'd like to know.
That's a good question.
I'd like to know if they're similar names.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, what really got me is that when they said it's not much different to people who have a street name and a government name. So the first thing that I thought, because anytime anything happens in my life, the first thing I think is it's about you, Cece. So do you have a street name? And if not, and if you do, what is Cece's street name?
No, I mean, I'd like to think I've got one. So it's like Cece. Like that's
Cece.
Yeah, that's my street name.
Now that's what people shout at you when you're drinking. Cece, stop.
Exactly. But okay. No, I don't know. Do you have a street name?
Yeah, a lot of people call me P Wizzle.
Fuck. Is that when you're wearing a specific outfit? Like, do you wear a chain? I know you wear chains, but a chain.
Yes, when I've got all like the bling on and that, people go, what's happening, P Wizzle?
Right. Like, and at home it's just delicate Pete.
Yeah, just at home, it's just Peter. But when I step outside the front door and, you know what I mean, I'm P-Wizzle, I become a different person.
Right, P-Wizzle, should we move on to our next story?
I think we should. From one that got a little bit deep there to one that is utterly ridiculous. So I'm just going to say the headline and then I want you to just spend a couple of seconds, everyone listening and you, Cece, just thinking about what I've said.
Okay, go on.
Woman mourns after her dolphin husband dies. Says she will never remarry. Just take a minute, everyone. Just sit in silence. Close your eyes, Cece, for me. Take a minute.
I don't think I need to.
I'm going to read it again for you. Woman mourns after her dolphin husband dies and says she will never remarry. Right, a woman. I mean, we've got her name here, and I feel like I probably shouldn't tell people it, but I'm going to. Named Sharon Tendler. Knew it was love at first sight when she met her partner named Cindy. Despite the fact he was a 30...
Hang on.
A couple of things have just surprised me here. Cindy's is a dolphin husband, so maybe Cindy's parents had a row and one of them called him Cindy and the other one called him Dave. I don't know. But either way, met her partner named Cindy, despite the fact he was a dolphin. Now, there's another bit of information to this that has just blown my mind.
Okay.
He was a 39-year-old dolphin.
Is this another Yuri situation? She had sex with this dolphin.
I don't know, but we're going to find out. Sharon, who's 26, I really love the fact we've got the ages in these. Like, that makes a difference. He's a bit old. He's a bit older than her. That's not the problem. The problem is the fucking dolphin. the age gap isn't an issue. Sharon was 26 when they met and began to make countless expensive trips to Israel to see her alpha male heartthrob. Alpha male heartthrob, Cindy. 15 years after they met, the pair married and the union was sealed with a kiss as millionaire Sharon whispered, "I love you." And Cindy presumably clicked in agreement.
Oh my God, this is awful.
On her wedding day, Sharon said, "It's not a perverted thing. I do love this dolphin. He's the love of my life." Their relationship came to a sudden dramatic end as Cindy the dolphin sadly died within months of their marrying, probably from shame. On hearing the news of her husband's death, Sharon ruled out finding another lover, saying, "I'm a one dolphin woman."
Oh, I literally can't deal with these people.
I know, it's mental. And do you know what? It's ridiculous, really, because you shouldn't rule out finding another lover. You know what they say? Plenty more fish in the sea and all that. See what I've done there?
I did. I'm just not over all of it.
I mean, listen, I don't know where we get these stories, but I absolutely love them. And part of them makes me smile because I think I'm not that bad a person.
This is the thing. You know, I came in at 6 today. I've gone up now. Shazza has brought me up. She's lifted my spirits.
Yeah, Shazza and Cindy have really... lifted us.
Do you think we can get Shazza on the show?
I mean, that, can you imagine?
Listen, after Yuri, I can imagine fucking everything. There is no limits on this show. FYI, if you don't know who Yuri is.
Sorry, just in case this becomes a little clickbait, Cece did just say, after Yuri, I can imagine fucking everything. So let's hope no one cuts off there, because I feel like Yuri may have given us some ideas.
Oh, I love it. I love that, yeah.
I mean, look, I don't think we should go on too much about Sharon and her weird...
Let's leave her there.
Love of...
Sharon, you do you.
Just a little side piece of information and a fact for you about dolphins.
Okay, go on. It's going to make it better.
No, it's actually not. It's really not.
Good.
Dolphins are also one of the only other animals that fuck for fun.
Really?
Yes.
So hang on. No, I've got more questions now. They fuck for fun, and then if they make babies, then bonus.
Yeah, so similar to humans, we don't just mate to reproduce.
Yeah.
We enjoy it. Whereas a lot of the animal kingdom, whatever else, they mate specifically to reproduce, that, you know, whether they're in season or whatever it may be. They don't just do it because they think, oh, fuck me, happy days, I'm right horny today, I want to give her one. They do it specifically for a reason. Dolphins like to have sex.
I reckon this is what it's about then. Shazza definitely has had sex with Cindy.
And on that note...
Lovely listeners, as this is live radio, which means that things can sometimes go not according to plan, we no longer have our lovely guest, Wayne Dinnicker.
I know he's knocking on a bit, guys, and I just want to point out he's not dead. He hasn't died. He's just not arrived.
He didn't die, no. So instead, Pete and I thought that we would play all the games that we would have played with him ourselves. So we're going to actually talk about the topic regardless, which is expectations. So Pete, I'm gonna fire this one straight at you. So...
Oh, God.
Do
you want me to pretend to be Wayne Lineker? Oh, I see. How you doing, babe? Sorry, I've just been down ocean. But yeah, talk to me about expectations.
Do you do impressions? That was pretty good.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Multi-talented. Thank you.
It's all right.
Okay, fire at me.
So, expectations. When you go, I probably know the answer to this, but when you go, let's talk about dating at the start. When you go on a date, do you have expectations in your head? Do you go completely open? What's your sort of view on it?
Absolutely not, no. I don't have any expectations whatsoever when I go on a date or when I meet someone, anything like that, because I think, I used to when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think I used to, but
actually, like what? What would they be when you were younger?
What expectations on a date? I mean... It depends what the conversation had been beforehand, but sometimes if you go on a date, you kind of get an idea of what someone's like if you've spoke to them for a little while. So I think you do build up some sort of expectation based on the chats you've had with people before you meet them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
You kind of get an idea whether they're a bit deep or they're quite serious or, you know, they're just fun or they just want to fuck or whatever. You kind of have that in the head. So it's kind of, I think it's more of a subconscious expectation because you kind of have an idea or a vibe or an energy or whatever the cliche word is about someone based on speaking to them. Mm-hmm. But I think when I was younger, I used to probably rely or think more about that than I do now. Whereas now, I'm aware that people are completely different over message or over the phone to what they are in person.
So how do you separate that then from standards? Because they're very similar. Well, they are, but they're not. But there's, I think there's a bit of an overlap. So how do you, when you, because you obviously know what you like, right? So that sort of becomes, you know, a standard, if you will. So how do you not make that an expectation?
Well, I think the thing is for me is that I don't have any standards. So... so it's very easy, actually.
And he said it.
Doesn't come into it. No, do you know what? Standards, I think, are completely different. Because it's not so much about knowing what you like. It's about knowing what you don't like. Mm-hmm. I think that's more the way I look at it. So there's certain things that if people did on a date, I don't necessarily think it's expectations when it comes to, I think it's expectations when it comes to people. For example, being rude or doing whatever else. That's their levels and standards in people that I don't like, full stop. Whether you're a friend or whether you're anything else. And I don't think that's having high standards or whatever else, because I take everyone as they are. Like, we're all different. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about all of us is we're all very different. So you have to accept someone for who they are. But there are certain things that I'd be like, nah, you can't do things like that, because that's just a level of decency that you need to have. So as much as I probably don't have standards, there is a level of decency that I would like dates to adhere to.
Yeah, that's a very polite way of saying it.
Thank you. So moving on from dating to relationship expectations.
Yeah.
Which I think is a...
That could mean anything. Take it how you will.
It reminds me of a song and I don't know why.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I can't even think what song it is.
I think you made that up.
I did it! Did I not sing a tune? Do you not know what that was?
I think that was a CC special. Coming soon. Yeah, relationship expectations are completely different. Now, you're probably a better one to talk about that, because obviously my relationship history is brief, non-existent, pretty much. So expectations when it comes to partners. Someone once told me, actually, Paul Brunson from Slips Go Dating said, the one thing that you should find in a partner, and you should you should really look for in a partner, is that you share the same values. If your core values are the same, you can build pretty much everything from there, and you shouldn't expect too much or expect too much. You should accept people for who they are, provided you have core values that match, because that's the foundation to build your relationship house.
I mean, that's the dream, right? That's lovely.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, I would love to take credit for that. That is Paul Brunson from Slips Go Dating, not me. Actually, cut that bit out. That's Pete Wicks.
You said it your way, so yeah.
Pete Wicks from The Dating Show. And that's kind of something that I've always taken with me, probably after Paul, is that it's something like I've kind of thought, but it makes a lot of sense that actually you shouldn't expect things from people. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't. And I know a lot of people kind of will go, well, I just treat people how I would like to be treated and all that sort of stuff, but we're all different. How you go about your business, you can't expect someone to be the same and do the same things you would. I think you have to accept people more than expect from people. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But provided it's not something fucking, do you know what I mean? I'm not saying you should allow people to be knobheads, but your core values being the same is really important. So that would be the right and wrong, you know, don't cheat, don't do this, having respect for each other and all that sort of stuff. All of that sort of stuff's got to be in line. But when you expect someone to do things how you do it all the time, it puts a lot of pressure on another person. I think it stifles people from being themselves because they're almost walking on eggshells or trying to reach these high standards that someone's got of them. Mm. When actually a lot of the time the people that are expecting this don't fucking hit their own standards.
Yeah.
Or levels of expectation. Do you know what I mean? And I think it stifles people, and that's how you it's like a power trip in a relationship. That's all I know, but all I think.
You're absolutely bang on. And I, you know, even you saying that is bringing up lots of things. Like friends have quite high expectations of their partners, and I just for me, I wouldn't want to be, I don't want anyone to, I think don't have that expectation of me, because I don't have that of myself. So I don't want to be on a pedestal. And that's what we, I think we do is we, you know, especially when you really care, you fall in love with someone, you, maybe women more so, we, you know, run away with a fairy tale and we want it to be perfect. So we put someone on a pedestal and then they're there and you've put them there, the bar is set. So then they've always got to try and reach this, this expectation, but actually they never asked to be there in the first place. And it, I've been put on the pedestal before and I've asked to be taken off it.
Fucking,
you know,
I don't wish I was.
But you do, in me, no, I'm sure, but you, I'm sure you have, you know, and maybe you know, like this whole, we've spoken about this before, you know, girls might think, oh, I can change him, you know, I can change Pete. And that's their expectation that you've probably said something in a passing comment that they've taken as sacred. And so now you're on a pedestal because that, well, Pete once said 2 months ago that, you know, maybe this could fall into something better. And then you're on a pedestal when you're expected to be their boyfriend when actually you didn't even know they were your girlfriend. Does that make, you know what I mean?
100%. Yeah, 100%. And I think what's interesting as well is that when you first start dating someone, we've said this before, you always go, or I always go as myself, but you do try and be the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
And we both said it. And I think everyone does when you first start dating. But I've got friends who have gone and done like magical first dates and these absolutely amazing things. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, even I've done it. I took someone to Rome on a first date.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The bar I've set myself at that point.
Yeah.
So then a couple of weeks later, and you go, should we just go to the pub for a bit, didn't
I? Yeah. Right?
You have to, it's like, you have to, I'll tell you another one that really always makes me laugh. Presents.
Oh my God.
I love this one.
Such an issue. Yeah.
I find it a really interesting one, this, is when people try and they have to better their last present, or it has to be better, or for the longer you've been together, it's got to be better than this, it's got to be better than that. And I've had, and I've done it, I once spent an absolute fortune on someone for their birthday, only to get dumped about a week later. But either way, I spent quite a lot of money on this present, and then we did get back together, but I felt like the next birthday, it had to be better than that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And it was a really special, it was a special present because it was a special time. But then the year after, I thought, oh God, well, I can't just...
What the fuck do you know?
I can't just get that because last year I did that. And you feel an expectation on yourself to kind of do... Does that make sense?
Definitely. That is... And like you said about dating as well, like your first date, taking someone to Rome. I mean, this is why I say, like, let's keep the first date casual because my mind will do that naturally. I don't want to go that in that direction, but I've been on some beautiful first dates, and in, you know, the location has been lovely, the date hasn't been, but the location sounds terrible, isn't it? The date was shit, but I loved that restaurant.
Fuck me, wasn't you that came Rome with me, was it?
That fucking guy. But it's true, like, and then you think, wow, and then you go and tell your friends and you're like, and this is the other thing, is it was women, we talk, so then you're like, oh my God, he took me to da 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 on a first date, and then the girls are like, well, what do you reckon he's going to take? Where's he going to take on the second date? And then you're like, oh shit, now I've set the bar for him, for myself. My friends have asked me. And then you almost don't want to let your friends down because they're like, so where did you go on the second date? And you're like,
yeah, go on. What did he do? What did he do? We went Nando.
Yeah. And they're like, oh. And it's everyone's just building on this. So this is why it's just so, so hard. Like standards, expectations, they're... Know the standards, know exactly what your boundaries are, because that's super, super important. But expectations, it's not pessimistic to set them low. I just think it's getting them in check and in the right place, because it's unfair. I don't want to be on a pedestal. You don't want to be on a pedestal. Nobody wants to be put up there because the only way is down.
Yeah, 100%. And I think another really, obviously, I'm going to lower the tone. Sex expectations.
This is a big one.
Very big one.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, God, yeah. Go on.
Let's say you've been on a few dates with someone, you've not slept with them, but it's very flirty and you're sexting, shall we say?
Yeah.
Or you're kind of getting that kind of vibe from someone. Mm-hmm. This is one of my, this has happened quite a few times with me. Sometimes people are very over the top because they think that's how they want you to be, because they think he might be a filthy bastard, so I'm going to pretend I'm a fucking porn star. And
yeah.
And then when actually you do have sex with that person, it's not quite the same. But yeah, because you've set the expectations of, I'm going to do this to her, I'm going to do that, or she's done it, or, do you know what I mean? And then you set, so set expectations, I think, is quite a big one. And I think when you do date people, obviously you don't really have that if you have a one-night stand, or you know, because you haven't had time to think about it, and sometimes that's better, actually, in a way. Mm-hmm. But if you have had a bit of a build-up, you naturally will build up what it will be like to fuck that person 100%. Or have sex with that person. Sorry, I'll put it nice and make love to that person. So you naturally have these expectations.
Yeah.
And then how many times have you, and like you say, the girls talk. So how many times have you been on dates with someone and they're like, right, tonight, the night, are you going to have sex with him, blah, blah, blah. You do it and you think, oh, yeah, it's going to be great because he's quite flirty. I like the way he kisses me, whatever it may be. And then you go back to the girls next day and go, geez, it was hung like a fucking goldfish and didn't know what to do with it.
Well,
that you built in your head, do you know what I mean?
Trust me, look.
So what do they call it? Big dick energy and all that shit?
Big dick energy. This is a conversation that women have quite often is...
Because that's an expectation, isn't it? Big dick energy is an expectation.
Well, that and the sex. So you don't want to slip this on too quickly. As women, we're like, oh, I can't do that too quickly. But at the same time, you don't want to wait 5 days only for you not to have that sexual chemistry that you thought you had because you built it up because of the expectation, and then you feel let down. So it's almost like, let's just quickly have sex, work out if that's good. If it's good, great. And then we can figure out everything else. It's hard to kind of gauge what you do with it. I personally write off the first episode. I just think, fuck it. Like, I literally, honestly, I don't expect this to be brilliant because I'm going to think I'm a porn star. You're going to think you're some fucking rock star. And it's just going to be, it's not going to be connected. It's just going to be, look what I can do and look what I can do, showing off.
Yeah.
So I think, fuck that. But, let's get rid of the nerves.
You're showing in your downward dog and all that. I'll do yoga.
Yeah, look what flexible, I can do. You know what I mean? My leg, you know.
Fucking swinging each other about for fucking 3 hours, but no one's actually really enjoying it. You're just fucking, it's like a workout.
It's like,
it's so true. It's like you have to go through the whole repertoire of what I can do.
Exactly.
Because you think, well, I've got to make a good impression on this fucking first one. Do you know what I mean? I've really got to make a good impression because this will be the last impression. But actually, you're right. You probably should just
I write it off. And now my conversations in me, they've changed so much over the years with friends. You know, before it was like, that all the questions were asked. Now I don't even ask my friends. Like, we might say, like, how was the sex? But we won't say, it won't be in detail because I guess we're all at a stage where we're looking for more relationship-y type sex. You're not going to go, oh, we just make passionate love. You're not going to say that. So we you're looking at me in a really odd way. This is why we don't talk about it as much anymore. We talk about it, but I feel like I'm sharing all of my friends' conversations.
No, but well, it's all good. We haven't named any of them. But Stacey, I hope you're listening. No, I'm joking. You haven't got a mate called Stacey.
No, not yet.
That name. Oh, good. Not yet, and probably never now. So at what point then do you start actually counting the sex?
Oh, which ones? So, you know, number...
Just writing them up as if you're like,
number
three. I'm not counting that.
Yeah, like number two is like, okay... And then you're going to know by number two if it's like, it's just not. And then you'll probably give number three another shot. And then it's like, it's either, fuck, this is just going to get better and better because now we're connecting even more. We've let go of the nerves. Or it's like, we just don't have that chemistry. And it really depends on what type of person you are, your expectations, what kind of sex you want, you know, but you only really...
And whether you both like the same sort of things.
Exactly.
Which is important as well, isn't it? Anyway, I think we've covered expectations, but who the fuck needs Wayne Lineker? Wayne, Gary wouldn't have let us down. But I mean, we've covered quite a bit on expectations there, but we are sponsored by Happn, obviously.
We are.
And this is a really interesting one, especially now, these days, the expectations of dating apps. You've used dating apps more than I have.
And abused, yeah.
You've used and abused.
Used and abused.
So, are there rules when it comes to dating apps? And what do you have to expect more because you feel, I don't know, does it put you under pressure if you're using a dating app?
I've always used the apps in quite a jovial way. I've never really... I love them. You know, I don't see it. People say, oh, I fucking hate the apps. They do it. I just enjoy using them because it's a method, it's a tool to meet new people. And if you don't go out every single night of the week, or, you know, especially during this year and we're all stuck at home, how the hell are you meant to meet people? So I think my expectations are probably less when I go on the apps because you're in the comfort of your own home. You know, it's safe and you have a choice. Mm. With the expectations, I think there's a real pressure back to men on being the first person to speak to a woman, and also having that opening line that's just so funny and you know, great. Honestly, how are you?
This is the thing for me when it comes to dating apps. Listen, I'm quite chatty, and when I'm out, I'm normally the one that will go and speak to women first and with the boys or whatever else. So I don't really use dating apps. I've used one.
Come on, this is perfect. So you see a girl in the bar, what do? You go over, you say what? Like how does Pete do it?
You've got absolutely no need for chat lines. If you're using chat lines, you are a helmet.
Tick. Okay. Did everybody hear that? You are a helmet if you use
How much does a polar bear weigh? Enough to break the ice. Shut up, dickhead.
Yeah.
Is your father a thief? He stole the stars and put them in your eyes. I mean, listen, you go all day with all these silly fucking things, but you sound a wanker. Really, all you need to do, anything you do, it shouldn't be any different meeting a girl to any other social situation. If you go up and you meet someone for the first time, what do you do first? What's the first thing you do?
You say hello.
And you introduce yourself. That's it. That's all you have to do, boys, girls, anyone.
But
go and introduce yourself to someone and ask them about them. What is your name? That is it.
P, you are naturally quite a confident guy, right? And I don't think many women, if you approach them in a bar, would be like, oh, fuck off, P.
You'd be surprised.
I think they'd be quite open to talking to you, right? So that obviously then boosts your confidence. So then you feel that the next time, you know, it becomes easier. So what about people that don't have that confidence and have the expectation that, you know, they've got to be shut down, they're going to be knocked down, they're going to be turned away?
But that's the thing, is I think it's people that maybe aren't as confident, have the expectation they've got to come up with this line, or they've got to come up with something that is really going to steal someone's fucking thunder. Listen, there are enough people in the world. Not everyone is everyone's cup of tea, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You just don't have it. Eye contact is the most important thing you can ever have, ever. And you can always tell, listen, the eyes are the only thing you should ever fall in love with and the only thing you should ever listen to, because they don't lie and they don't age, right? And that's the fucking truth. So that is the most important. But coming up with all these lines, and I think it's people that aren't as confident that think they have to come up with these lines. Mm. What do I say first? What can I say first? Just say hello. That's all you've got to do. But I've been knocked back a million times.
So in a bar?
Yeah, of course I have.
What? Someone said what? Like, oh, sorry,
Yeah, exactly. Well, whatever else. Sweet, no worries. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what happens. Not everyone is going to like you. That's life. Not everyone is going to like you. Not everyone's going to fancy you. Not everyone's going to have that connection with you that you want. And just because you want that doesn't mean that they're going to have that.
Yeah.
But some will. And you've got to be in it to win it.
Yeah. I totally agree.
I know that's really easy to say, and I know that's for some people that aren't as confident or whatever else, it's really easy for me to say that. But that is the truth. Not everyone is gonna like you in life. But that's okay.
Yeah.
That is okay. That is absolutely fine. And it doesn't matter if you get knocked back a million fucking times, it'd be that one time you don't could be the love of your life. So if you don't have the bollocks, which, and I don't mean that in an aggressive way, but have the bollocks, find that little bit of confidence. Otherwise, you might be missing out on something that could change your life forever.
So, you know, another podcast I listened to, obviously it was ours. One of us must have said at one point, another great podcast where it's so simple, but a lady says, if you don't, someone else will.
100%.
If you don't do it, and that means that could be in anything, go for the job, you know. By the how, whatever it is, if you don't do it, someone else will. So fucking get in there. I just threw something at my screen.
Because really getting aggressive. And listen, you know, people that might be listening to it, I know we've slightly gone off topic a little bit here, but people listening to this might be thinking, oh, yeah, it's really easy for you two to say, you're both quite confident or whatever else. Listen, I've failed a million times and I've been knocked back a million times. Cece, I'm sure you're exactly the same. Failed 100%. Things, not just dating, anything else. But all of them things, like we said earlier on, the mistakes are what make you. It's not mm-hmm. it's not the successes. We can all have a great time and be the wonderful person when we're all winning in life. Mm-hmm. But it's when you're not winning in life, that's the measure of who you are as a person. The measure of a man is when they're down. The measure of a woman is when they're down. Because that's when you have to pick yourself up and try and do whatever you can, but still be the best person you can. And listen, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter if you get knocked a fucking million times. If you don't just try, then what are you here for? Mm-hmm. What if you don't try in life, then what are you doing? And
that builds strength. The more you get knocked back, you feel like shit, and you find a way to come out the other end. That is what builds strength and resilience to make you stronger for the next time. And so Pete and I both sat here, singletons.
Yeah.
And what? Do you know what I mean? Because the more experiences, lessons we have, the stronger and better people that we are for when we do meet our
And don't think, because I know we've touched on social media and other things before, don't think that everyone in life, those people get it easy. Everyone has had failures and everyone has had mistakes. Every single person. So don't... And I don't know why I'm getting so like passionate about that, but I just think it's so important that people have to just give it a fucking go, man. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Just fucking try it, because otherwise you are going to waste your life. You're here once, man.
Love that, Pete. So did it happen, guys? If you don't know, we haven't said it already. We have been sponsored by Happn. Thank you so much, Happn. So we like to play a game called Did It Happen, where Pete is going to tell us one truth and one lie, and I am going to get a question per story, and I'm going to guess which one is fate or not.
Okay.
Peter, tell me.
Are you ready for this?
Fate, yes.
So, oh God, it's actually quite hard when you do this now. I found it quite hard to think of some stories that are based around, because the majority of my dating stories are, as you well know, fucking disgusting.
You should see the list I've written down. I will share it with you. And I'm like, no, he knows that. And they've all got code names. So go on. Sarah, go on.
Short time. So obviously we're sponsored by Happn. So you want to make it based around kind of coincidence, fate, that sort of stuff. So I've got a couple of stories for you. The first one. So I matched with a girl on an app. The only time that I've ever really used a dating app. We got on really, really well. Good as gold, but I never, actually similar to my second story as well, we never really got a chance to kind of meet, just because I was really busy. At the time I was filming a lot of different things and I was doing all sorts of bits, and she lived a little while away from me. I then basically went on a PA. We stopped talking because it just got to the point where, you know, you have them things where you talk to someone for like a couple of months and then it never really materializes, and then you slowly just stop speaking. It's not because you don't get on, it's just because you think, oh, it just becomes a bit effort-y. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Then about a year later, I went on a PA, and she was actually the hostess looking after me in the club. I was actually on a little tour, so I spent 3 days around that PA area because I had a few dotted around over a weekend. It was a bank holiday. So we went on a couple of dates over that time. I think that's fate, because we'd spoken a couple of years ago. I had no idea she was going to be there. She ended up being the hostess in the club that I was booked to work at like a year or so later.
Okay.
And we ended up having a really good couple of days.
Okay, I'll leave my questions for after that.
Story two is not so nice.
Go on.
So... it's similar actually to the first one. I dated, or speaking to this bird, again for quite a while. I was supposed to go on a date with her, and I had traveled up to, it was in Manchester. I traveled up to Manchester because I had worked there the next day. So I had to stay in a hotel that night anyway. And we were supposed to go on this date and she never turned up. Basically. So I was supposed to meet her in the hotel bar, the Dakota. She basically didn't turn up, and I was sat there for about an hour. It was fine because I was staying in the hotel, but nothing really happened. Then she called me and said, I'm so, so sorry. I've had a car crash and all this sort of shit. And I was like, oh, right, fine. It's absolutely fine, babe. Don't worry. We never ended up going on a date, because then I went to work the next day, and then I just sort of thought, I don't know if that's true or if it's not. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But whatever. Then about 2 years later, I went on a double date with my mate, and his date was her.
Oh.
Right? obviously I pulled him and said, just, you know, I used to speak to this bird. I never went on a date with her, because just because of, like, as a mate, like, do you know what I mean? I want him to know that as well. She'd never told him that, but she knew I was coming on the date. Anyway, he ends up dating this bird for quite a while, mm-hmm. For well over a year, actually, which is fine. I always had a bit of a funny feeling about her anyway. She actually cheated on him for a long time, got pregnant
with
another person, but told him it was his. Right, so I'm going to get to why this is fake. Told him it was his, and he only found out literally about 2 months before the baby was born. It wasn't actually his; it was the other guy's thing. So he'd gone through 7 months of pregnancy.
God,
did all this sort of stuff. So that's the story there. So this Faye, she didn't turn up for my date. What a lucky escape is that?
Fuck.
Yeah. Sorry, we always say about these stories, keep them short, and I've just waffled on there. But yeah, no. they're my two, CC. Sorry, I've waffled.
Okay, so question for hostess with the mostest, number one. Did you end up having sex with her?
Yes.
Okay. So then my questions for mate impregnating and double dating. How was it awkward when you saw her?
You know what I'm like? I'm not really an awkward person, am I? So I was like, all right, babe, like that. And then she didn't really say anything. Then I pulled him and told him, and then it didn't get mentioned. He didn't come back and go, well, he's just told me this. Do you know what I mean? Just so you know, mate. I think she was quite awkward.
Yeah.
But because I'd never met her before, because she never turned up on the date, I don't really know if she was awkward or just one of them weird, awkwardy people. Mm. But I'll tell you who did go. The girl that I was actually on a date with, I've been dating for a little while, I told her the story as well afterwards, So I told her, not whilst she was at the table, because you know what it's like with two girls, I wanted them to get on.
Yeah, of course.
Just in case they were a bit like, oh, whatever. So I told her after, and she was like, ugh, that is disgusting. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, she is a horrible person. She just didn't like her anyway. And she was like, thank God you didn't go on a date. And then obviously a year later, I mean, the bird that I was on date at the time, I didn't see for much longer. So I don't think she knows the full rest of that story. But I would love to tell her one day, because she knew.
She said to me,
she was like, she is not a nice person.
Okay, so I'm going to go based on the information that you've shared on the second one, that is your fate story. Number two is fate. And number one has some truth in it, but it isn't the right one. It's the lie.
So you think story
two is truth?
Pretty wild one, so you see.
Oh, is it a lie?
No, that is the truth.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And the first one I just completely made up.
Really? That's pretty good.
I'm a fabulous liar.
I believed it. Yeah, I actually believed all of it.
Oh. Sorry, we've just wasted all our time on me doing that. So let's do your stories now.
Story number one. I just moved to New York. I've been in New York for, I don't know, 4 months or so. So I'm on the train. I'm all dressed up. I'm going to a bar to meet some friends. And this guy gets on who's hot. And he sits in front of me and I'm like, yes, I'm just going to pretend I'm not looking at you, but I'm going to look at you. And
Dirty bitch.
Quite a beautiful guy.
I said flirty, but you can be a dirty bitch as well.
This does get dirty. So this guy cocks his leg up on the train. And I'm thinking, God, he's casual. Like, but we're in our own sort of carriage. There's another carriage. There's another sort of on the other side, but you can't really see them. So this guy cocks his leg up. And then decides to put his hand down his trousers. And I, at that point, think I might turn away right now. So I turn away. So he's staring at me and I'm staring at someone else trying to get them to read my mind to help me. And this guy is, all I can hear is like, so I would imagine what he's doing is touching himself. And anyway.
He was knocking mine out, yeah.
So I'm probably going really red at this point, still staring at this other person thinking, why haven't you read my mind?
Probably not as red as his helmet was.
I don't even want to think about what his helmet looked like.
The old purple-headed warrior.
So this goes on and I'm like, why does this feel like the longest train journey I've ever been on? And then I see him, I guess, he shudders. So he does like a, like this. And then he took his hand out. And at this point, I'm still just staring at this other person thinking, why haven't you fucking noticed what's going on? And then he gets up, he pulls his jumper up and he says, have you got the time? And I thought, Are you asking me the time because you want to time yourself, how long it took you, or because you're like, and I just, all these things are going around in it. The only thing that could come out of my mouth was no, as in I don't have the time. Anyway, he gets off the train. I turn up at the bar, I tell my friend starts laughing. I'm like, this isn't fucking funny. I feel violated. And he's like, I'm sorry, but that is fucking funny. And I'm like, I kind of see it is funny, but it's fucking wrong. Anyway, 2 months later, I'm at another bar, out with the same group of people. This is my school friends. And matey boy walks in the bar, obviously doesn't know, remember me, doesn't know anything, doesn't recognize me, and comes over and asks me for the time again. I'm going to leave it there.
So let me just get this right. So story one is I broke down, wank a quiver.
Story two. I'm back in New York. I'm now 2 months into being there, trying to find somewhere to live. So when I first moved there, I was staying with a friend, and I didn't know New York, right? I don't know where to move to. So I'm just looking at anywhere that's cheap. I'm so excited to be in this school that I'm just like, I will live anywhere. So I go to this place in Brooklyn. And as I get off the train, I'm like, God, this does look a little bit different. I'm all dressed up because I'm like, I want to be seen as like a, you know, a person that you want to live with. So it's, when I say dressed up, I've got heels on, but I've done myself up. Anyway, I walk past this street and this car comes up to me really, really slowly. And everyone's looking at me in the car. And I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on here? Walk off, realize I've gone the wrong way. Walk back. I walk down another street. I'm looking for this house. I'm on this shitty little phone of mine because it's the only thing I can afford. It's like a flip phone. It just doesn't even work. I think I just don't know where I am. There's no Google Maps.
Was it a Motorola with an MP3 player?
It was a Motorola. Yeah. I'm not even joking. Yeah. I'm not joking. So anyway, trying to find this thing, can't find it. And then this guy comes up to me and he's like, excuse me. And I'm just freaked out by this point. I'm so out of my comfort zone. And he says, miss, like, I don't mean to, you know, be rude or anything other. You don't look like you should be here. Can I help you? And I said, I don't know what to, no, like, I don't want to tell him I'm looking for a house. I don't want to know where I live. And he says, can I help you? And he said, what are you trying to look for? And I wanted to show my phone, but I was like, is he going to take my phone? So anyway, I show him the phone. He says to me, that's where you need to go. So I'm looking for a house. And he said, look, there's nothing in this. I'm going to wait outside. I'm going to wait 20 minutes. If you're not out in 20 minutes, I'll knock on the door for you. And I'm just like, do you know what? I'm so out of my fucking comfort zone anyway. Fine. So I go in, look at this house. It's awful. I'm in there 5 minutes. Come back out. He's just waiting for me. He's got a lanyard on. And he's like, look, I'm basically equivalent of British Gas. And he's like, I'm doing checks around here. He's like, can I give you a lift to the station? Like, there's nothing in it. Can I try and drop you home or to the station? And I, again, was freaked out. I get in the car. He drives me to the station. As I get out of the car, I'm a little bit like, does he want to take my number? I'm like, what is going on here? Anyway, he doesn't. And I get out of the car, he drives off, I get on the train, I decide not to take that house. Again, I'm out in a bar. Guess who's in the bar? Guess who comes over? Guess who takes my phone number? And guess who becomes my boyfriend for about 2 weeks?
Really? Right, so my question for number one is, describe the man for me.
He was probably 5'8". He was
a hobbit.
Quite stocky. Maybe he was a bit taller than that, actually. I was sat down, remember. Anyway, I would say on the stockier side, looked like he goes to the gym, dressed reasonably smartly the first time.
I've got what I needed out of that. I'm being really detective.
You get it.
Was right. Why did you only date him for two weeks?
It just fizzled. Yeah.
Okay. I think the first one's a liar based on the fact that you said he was hot and actually then said he was 5'8", but you were sat down, but he came up to you in a bar afterwards the second time, so after time, so you would have been stood up then. And also, I don't think you would date someone or think someone's hot that's 5'8". So I think that's the lie.
It's the truth.
No way is that one the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Someone said you. Have you told me this before?
No.
There were so many mental stories about you from
Trust
New York.
Me.
I honestly.
And that second one does have truth in it, by the way.
I actually quite like that story. That's quite a cool story.
I just didn't see him again, yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. Was he just...
Just just not my type.
Just implanted.
He was there. He was like a guardian angel for that moment in time. You know, sometimes you just need people.
However,
like,
the guy that was your type, we thought was hot, was actually the pervert peeping Tom, wanker quiver man on the train. This is currently the longest show that's ever happened, despite the fact we've got no guests, and we still have my favourite part of the show to come.
Oh God, yes! So, that was me getting very excited again.
So, if you don't know already, you are listening to The Dating Show with myself and Cece Coleman. We are sponsored by Happn, a fabulous dating app. You can download Happn on your mobile app store and all that sort of stuff. So you should do that. But before we leave for the day, we have to do our the best part of the show.
If you haven't switched off yet, we're going to do the best part of the show.
Yes, and if you are listening on your phone, you probably need to charge it because we don't shut the fuck up. So we have two this week. We have a dating story and then our favourite. Someone wants some advice.
I don't know. I mean, good. We must be doing something right.
Yes, someone wants some advice from the girl who got spunked on a train. So let's start with Dave's story. From...
Hey, Abby from Dorset.
Yes.
I was seeing this guy. I think we'd probably been on about 3-4 dates. We decided that he was going to come over to mine and we were going to watch a movie. Anyway, my doorbell went. So I went and answered the door and he was there holding this like old stinky pillow and it had like... You could see holes in it. It was disgusting. So I said to him, oh, like, what's the pillow for? He said, oh, well, I've had this pillow since I was born. And, you know, I just like to rub it. Instantly, I thought, what the hell is going on here? Like, this is not normal. But anyway, I let him in. Obviously, I couldn't not let him in. And I thought maybe he's just, well, I don't know. Maybe he's brought it over. I have no idea. I was trying to be positive at this point. I was like, how often have you washed that pillow? And he said, oh, well, I've had it since I was born and it's probably been washed probably about 5 times. Instantly, I was disgusted. Like, that is gross. So anyway, I didn't think anything of it. I thought, okay, let's continue with the movie. So I put the movie on and he sat there with his pillow in one hand, rubbing his pillow because that's what makes him relax. And sucking his thumb. So I sat there with a 28-year-old man sucking his thumb and rubbing a pillow. And then he wondered why I didn't ask him to stay. And from then, we never seen each other again because it's the oddest thing I've ever experienced.
I literally, I don't know where to start with that because I have so many things buzzing in my head. So, firstly, Abby, you sound like a fucking lovely person, but also a little bit silly. If someone turned up at my fucking door with a pillow at my age or the age that I'm at now, I would literally... Off you go. Ta-da. It's weird.
I think I'd still let them in, because if I'd be like, oh, you think you're staying over?
But if they said it's my comforter as a...
Oh, I think, oh, clearly you're joking. I'd be like, this guy's got banter. Come in. But then...
But then when he started sucking his thumb, what would you then do then? What would you then do then?
Probably call a friend and ask for help. Because at that point, it would become really fucking weird.
Would you call me?
Yeah. Yes, I actually would. Pete, I've got a man on my sofa sucking his thumb whilst rubbing his pillow that he's had for 28 years and washed 5 times.
Yeah. And you call me because I give the best advice.
Well, I'd want more than fucking advice. I'd want saving. That's... quite odd.
I would come and save you.
Thank you.
Anytime. I really hope one day you do need saving because I'd really love to get a call from you one day saying you're on a bad
date.
I mean,
based on my dating history, I think it's quite clear I'm going to need saving at some point.
Yeah, I think it should happen because it would just be fun. So, Abby, listen, yeah, I mean, I don't really want to take the piss out of the guy because I think he's got enough problems in life by the sounds of it. But yeah, mate, you've got to drop the fucking blankie and the comforter and all that. And just on a hygienic point of view, if you are going to have one of them things, fucking wash it, you dirty bastard. So anyway, moving on from Abby, thank you so much for your story.
Yeah, thanks, Abby. Fuck. Rosie. She's from Greece.
From Greece. I really hope this is going to be a story.
This is advice.
Oh, I'm so excited for this. Cece, just give yourself just 3 seconds.
To breathe.
Rosie. What can we help you with?
I am seeing a guy who is 20 years older than I am. To put it into context, I am 30 and he's 50. Now, we met in 2017 where the chemistry was instantaneous. And since then, our bond has only got stronger, the sex has only got better, and we can just look each other and make each other laugh. I don't know if I'd say that I'm fully in love with him, but after spending more and more time with him, I think it could head that way. I have openly said to him that I would like for us to try and to be in a full-on relationship rather than this sort of boomerang effect that we have with each other where we won't see each other for a few months and I will try other relationships or whatever, and so will he. But ultimately, we just sort of find each other again. Now, that it does sound quite romantic, but because of the age gap and the age that I am and the society saying that I should be married with children and stuff, I think he feels that he would take away more from my life than add to it. I completely disagree. All of my friends and family are very pro this. I've actually recently moved to Greece to be with him for the summer. And yeah, just curious to see what you guys think.
Good one. The initial thing she started with was age gap, 30 and 50, 20 year difference. Now, this is a bit of a... it's a shame Wayne's not on for this bit.
I know, this would have been perfect, wouldn't it?
For me, obviously not in like a weird way, but age is just a number. It's about maturity levels, isn't it? And it's just about a connection. I don't really think that matters in the slightest what the age are, provided they both have the same core and the same idea of where they want to be. I completely understand what he's saying in terms of the fact that I don't want to take that away from you. He's 50, so he's lived a lot of his life. Mm. And her being 30, whether or not she wants kids or whether maybe he doesn't want that, just her being with him, whether she loves him or not, would take that away from her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually quite a nice, if that's actually true from him, that's quite a nice thing to say to someone, is I don't want to take that away from you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she's still got, you know, another 20 years of her life to live that he's
definitely
already lived. But it's completely and utterly down to her. If you think you love this person, then none of that stuff matters. If your core values are the same and you both have the same understanding of where you want to go and where you want to be, but that's a really open conversation they've got to have, isn't it? It's a really open conversation about where you see yourselves.
So yeah, look, if you can be honest about where you're at, then I think this has legs. If you both want the same things, I think the move to being there this summer, doing it as maybe a temporary summer thing, is a really
great idea.
Because you're going to know if this is, you know, spending 24/7 with someone is fucking hard work. Spending a weekend with someone is easy because you know you can go, you can step away. But being with someone all the time is a big deal. So I think this summer is a big test. You know, do everything, go out, leave Greece, go on holiday, do couplesy things, go explore each other in different capacities other than just say the bedroom, and you'll know by end of summer if it has legs or not.
100%. I think the Rosie, you started this advice thing saying I want to open a conversation about the age gap, and actually I think me and Cece both agree that that's actually the most minor point of this whole thing. Is actually it's about whether or not this person and you have legs in a relationship, and that's something you can only find out by being around each other and having an open conversation.
Communication
is key.
It certainly is,
isn't it? What do we say, everyone? You've got to be in it to win it.
You have got to be in it to win it. Absolutely.
And if you don't try, listen, the only thing worse than failing is having a what if.
Oh, God, don't live with what ifs. Honestly, been there, done it. And then you end up going back anyway. And then you just try it. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck it.
I've dropped my pen again. Fuck it. Pete, I don't want to say it.
I don't want to say it either. Do you know what? In all seriousness, this is the longest show we've done. Right. And what I've actually worked out here? Basically, what the guest does is it takes time away from me just spending time with Cece.
Yeah, really, we do that to fill time, but we've just realised we don't actually need to.
No, I just don't like sharing you, babe. I don't like sharing you.
I don't like sharing you. That's it now. No more.
That's it.
So next week, guys, it'll be me and Pete, no one else. And we'll be talking and sharing advice, even though we're not qualified therapists or life coaches or anything of that profession. But what we do have on our side is life experience.
Life experience. The School of Life. And also, for those of you that can't stand Cece and I, we probably will have a guest because that producer will make us. So don't worry, it won't just be us.
That was just our idea, getting excited again.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Happn. You can download Happn on the mobile app store. And also, guys, the home of the dating show, the HQ, the hub, is the dating underscore show on Instagram. Give us
follow
a follow. Send us some messages. Send us your stories, whatever it may be, and keep up to date with what we're doing.
Guys, thank you. That is us. That is us every week. Have a wonderful weekend. Pete, what are you going to do this weekend?
Probably what I do most weekends, babe. I'll probably get pissed at some point. What about you? Are you going to?
I'm going to do exactly that too.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Go on then. See you later, fuckers.
Bye, guys. Namaste. Have a lovely weekend. Goodbye.